Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Let's open the Word of God to the Gospel of John 17, the Lord's Prayer. I have just been overwhelmed with all that we've seen in this phenomenal prayer. If I go to Tucson later this year in June, I think this is what I'm going to teach, is the Lord's Prayer in chapter 17. And we'll have to go at a little bit faster pace than what we've done here. But, so. Well, good evening. Come on in. Poor Julie thought she was the only woman here. My goodness. Gospel of John, chapter 17. The prayer of Jesus Christ for us. We were on his mind just hours before he went to the cross, went through all the ordeal of the cross. And so let's begin with the word of prayer. And in regard to prayer, we want to be in prayer for Thomas. Please be in prayer for Judith. She thought she was getting a little better the day before yesterday, and then pow, she came down with it really heavy again. So please be in prayer for Judith. And I asked her when I realized she wasn't going to be here tonight, I said, are you getting tired of my preaching already and my teaching? And she goes, you know better than that. I said, well, I don't know. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And any other prayer requests, by the way? Okay, then let's get to our prayer and get into the study of the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Lord's Prayer being audible and being collected and written down for us and preserved for us by God the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to see the things you'd have us to see and understand as we read through this passage tonight. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, you're going to have to bring that Bible back, sir. Okay. Verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that their unity may be completed or perfected, that the world may know that you did send me and loved them as thou did love me. Now, how is the world to know that Jesus Christ is sent by God the Father? Well, in this verse, that all believers are perfected, a complete unit. And then it says, may know that. We have the Greek conjunction henna, and it is used to tell what they may know. They may know that you did send me. Now, last week we spent some time on the verb to send. This is the verb apostello. It's the only verb for sending. It's in this prayer that we have seen. It's all through. The other one pimples all through John. But in the Lord's Prayer, every one of them are apostello. And we study this in verse 21. Now, in chapter 16 and 17, this is so important to Jesus Christ that we know that he is the one sent of God. He is the one sent. This is very important to his ministry, to his purpose. Muhammad claims that he was sent by the angel Gabriel, which is not true. Joseph Smith claims to have been sent by an angel. Now, the reason these false people make these false claims is they think that will give their heresy some authority. But people, what I want you to understand, Jesus Christ is sent by God the Father, not by an angel. He is above angels. The only one who could send him is God himself. And we're seeing in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, where Paul says, Christ crucified. And then in chapter 2, he says, Jesus Christ, this one, crucified. And you will recall how important this is. How if Paul had simply said, Jesus crucified, it would not have offended the Jews. He had just been another Jew that was getting what he deserved, as we have in Isaiah 53. But when Paul says, Christ crucified, this greatly offended the Jews. For this would mean that Christ, the Messiah, the one sent by God, is the one that they sent over to the Romans to be crucified. So being sent by God the Father was of great importance to Jesus Christ as to who he was and why he was sent here. It was always on his mind. And please remember, we've already seen that he sent you and I. This should always be in our mind. Why are we here? Why am I getting so upset about this thing related to the earth? This thing that's limited to time. Generally, less time than we have on earth. We get so upset about when we have the whole eternity as far as our being sent is concerned. Now Jesus Christ adds to what he had said in verse 21. And didst love them even as thou love me. The King James says, has loved them as thou hast loved me. The NIV, have loved them even as you have loved me. Now what we have is the aorist active indicative of the verb agapao, A-G-A-P-A-long-O, agapao, followed by another aorist active indicative, agapao. But there's something very important between them. Something very important, and it's that word translated as. This is so powerful. I guess I could say everything in the Lord's Prayer is powerful. The world of unbelievers may know that you, Father, have loved them, all believers who believed in me as Savior, as thou hast loved me. Okay. First question I want to ask you. Does God the Father, you don't need to answer, you can just play poker. Does God the Father love all people? Same. Now, let's take a problem that few people even dare to address, but I want to talk about it. The love of God. Does the Father love Jesus Christ more than he loves unbelievers? Think about that. Does he love his own son, Jesus Christ, more than he loves unbelievers? Interesting question. Does God love believers more than unbelievers? Does God love some believers more than other believers? Because there are passages that would imply all of these. But the answer to all these questions is no. He does not love one more than another. But God does love in different ways. And people, so do we. Let me start with an example. A mother and father have two children. One is 21 years of age, and the other is a baby. Now, do they love one more than the other? No. But they do love them differently, which sometimes to an uninformed, untrained eye will miss. For an example, they give to the 21-year-old a nice new automobile, maybe a used one, but a nice automobile. See, really nice automobile. And to this little baby, they give a $1.50 Rattler. What's going on? Why do you love this 21-year-old more than you love this one? What's with you? Well, we can all know that's not the case. See, they love both of them. And it's not a matter of loving one more than the other. They love them both with the same love. For the sake of illustration, they love them both with the same love, but they demonstrate their love differently. Now, God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's all the love he could give us. That's where we were. On the other hand, God demonstrates his love toward Jesus Christ in giving him glory, life, eternal dwelling. What's the difference in these two loves? What's the difference in God's love in these different cases? Now, this might help us to more fully grasp what we've already looked at some time ago. Look back at John 14. Gospel of John 14, verse 20. John 14, 20, in that day, generally assumed as being the day of Pentecost, universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Taken off of what we've been studying in the last three or four verses in John 17. Okay, this is directly involved in the Lord's Prayer. Last three or four verses we've studied. We have seen that by sanctification, we are in Jesus Christ. Now here is how we know these things. By the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 21. John 14. He who has my commandments, and we show that in this context it means faith and love by the Holy Spirit, love by the Holy Spirit, and keeps them, in other words, live your life by faith in the Holy Spirit, he who walks, that's the believer, who walks by faith in the Holy Spirit, it is who loves me, is the one who loves me. Now why? Because love from us is never human love. It's never from our flesh. It's like our thinking. We're dealing with God's wisdom versus human wisdom in 1 Corinthians 2. So this is not our thinking. This is not our love. It's a love given to us by God the Holy Spirit. Okay, does Jesus Christ love them walking by faith in the Holy Spirit and not love a believer who is not walking by faith in the Spirit? Is that what's happening? The answer to this question is right here. No. God the Father does not love one group of believers and not love another. Jesus Christ does not love one group of believers and not another. But they are both able to express their love in different ways. Now look what he says. John 14, 21. And will disclose myself to him. Wow. Jesus Christ loves all believers, but he's not able to disclose himself to all believers. That's what I want you to understand. He loves all believers, but he's not able to disclose himself to all believers. Why not? Because most believers, not walking in the filling of the Spirit, not growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, are not able to have Jesus Christ disclose himself to them. How does Jesus Christ disclose himself? By their growth in the Word of God, by the dynamic of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit daily, developing an understanding and a rapport with Him, and He is able then to disclose Himself to them by that same Holy Spirit. But if I'm not walking in the Holy Spirit, He's not going to disclose Christ to me. But if I am in the Spirit constantly, growing in the Word, He will disclose Himself to me. Now, this is more clearly seen in another passage. Turn to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. Oh, I love the 21st century. Some people are turning in their Bibles. Others are using their computers. So. I tell you what, I don't know what the next generation is going to have, but I hope I'm gone. I don't know what they're going to have. Okay, Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. How do we love him? How do we seek him? I love our pastor's teaching class on Sunday afternoon. We have a lot of fun and going a little bit too fast, so we're going to slow it down and really absorb some of the things we're looking at. But this last week we looked at Zephaniah, and I pulled out my Zephaniah folder, and of all 66 folders, this was the thinnest one I have. And I said, this is going to change. So somewhere along the line, y'all are going to get some study out of Zephaniah. And one of the things that Kit brought out, I have him get up and give a little talk on the various books. And Kit, as part of his, wasn't like it was his main momentum, but he pointed out the word to search. Seek, inquire in the book of Zephaniah. So I'm going to do a special on Zephaniah and just work on that word. Because, my goodness, we can't neglect one book of the Bible. And I just didn't have any. I just did this little, my folders of all of them. So, Proverb, huh? Do what? I might stick it in on Wednesday night. I might stick it in on Sunday morning. Who knows? I would like to say some cold night when people have nothing else to do, they come to church, but I don't think we're going to get any cold nights this winter. My goodness, 80 degrees today. That's just unbelievable in February. Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. How do we love him? By the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we diligently seek him? By the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit in revealing to us the Word of God. The Word of God reveals Jesus Christ, who reveals God the Father. But human wisdom, human mind, cannot grasp the Holy Scriptures. The wisdom of man is from man's abilities. The wisdom of God demands the Holy Spirit for us to grasp. So we must be filled with the Holy Spirit, who will take us through the Word of God, illuminate them for us, and reveal Christ, who is a revealer of God the Father. Okay, let's go back now to John 14:21. Get those computers and Bibles going to John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, and how do we keep them? Daily walking in the Spirit. It is he who loves me. Now, people, I want to point out, and it's not even my notes, but I want to point out, does it say he's the one who saved? People, there are so many false ideas of salvation, and what is salvation, and what are the qualifications. You got to make him Lord. You got to love him. It just says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is who loves me. Now, there'll be believers who don't because they don't walk in the power of the Spirit. I don't know if you saw the news, but this man who kidnapped this lady and took her off somewhere and kept her for about 14 days, I guess it was, and abused her and all this, and she was on TV, and there were other questions about her. But anyway, she said, I have got to forgive him. If I do not forgive him, I will go to hell. I am not going to go to hell for something he did. So I have got to forgive him so that I can go to... And as I said, what kind of preacher does this woman have? What kind of teaching of the Word of God? Yes, we're to forgive one another, but it's nothing binding of our eternity on it. It's just amazing what people are being fed and told today. Okay, now let's go to John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Okay, any questions here about God loving one, not loving another maybe? It doesn't say he does not love another. It says, but I love these. Does anybody have any guess? About what? Yes. Okay, he discloses himself as we walk with him daily. Okay, let's just get to the basic of it in the human realm. We disclose ourselves to someone who loves us, and we love in return. We will not disclose ourselves to someone we don't love. And someone who doesn't love us, do what? Yeah, it's a development. It's a series, just like a human relationship. Hopefully, the husband and wife know each other and love each other more after the first year, second year, third year, 20th year, 50th year. Because you got more time and all. But it's a process. But we're not going to disclose ourselves to someone that we don't love or doesn't love us. Even if we wanted to. We might love someone, but they don't love us, so we're not able to disclose ourselves. We'd love to, you know, you have you come over, or do this, let's do that, but you don't want to. So there's nothing that can be done about that. Does that help a little bit? Yeah, we're instant gratification, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a slow development, because here's a good example. It takes a while to get to know some human being that we can see, talk with, touch. How much more an invisible God? Invisible but real. How much more that? So that's what we're dealing with, those kind of issues. Okay? That help? Good. Love questions. All right. What I'm doing is learning not to take an hour to answer each question. When I was go to John's church and they first ask a question, I'd take 30 minutes on one question. They quit asking questions. So John said, you know, if you wouldn't take all night to answer one question, you might get a few more questions. So I stopped taking that long and answering the question. Okay, verse 22 in John 14. We're not through with John 14 yet. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, now here's the secret of allowing God and Jesus Christ to demonstrate their love to us. He will keep my word. Faith, spiritual love, growing in the knowledge of Christ, and my Father will love him. And what I want to emphasize is, this does not mean that if they don't, the Father will not love them. That's not a true statement. It's not what it's saying. But He will love them in a different way than He loves another. Okay? And my Father will love him. And we now know this does not mean that God does not love other believers and does not love unbelievers. This does not mean that God the Father does not love all believers. But He and Jesus Christ allow to demonstrate their love in a much different way to the believer who walks in the Holy Spirit. Just as we're able to demonstrate, reveal ourselves to our husbands and our wives in a way that we can't to anyone else. We only have that relationship with that one person. Well, God has a relationship with those who are involved in the Holy Spirit. And we will come to Him. Continuing verse 23, we will come to Him, make our abode with Him. Well, why would you want to come in and fellowship with someone who doesn't want you there? See? Why would you want to do that? You wouldn't. Why would you want to do that with somebody who doesn't love you, doesn't want you there? Okay, you lose. You lose. Verse 24, He, the believer, who does not love me, no filling of the Holy Spirit, does not keep my words, faith and spiritual love, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This isn't what I'm teaching. This is what the Father told all of these things and poured them all out to me. So people, if you want to experience the love of God, want to walk with Him. Want to walk with Him. Daily. One of the most interesting things about the Whitney Houston funeral Saturday was that most everyone was saying she loved the Lord, she loved the Lord, and all these types of things. I'm sure a lot of Christians, I know the kind that were, oh, she doesn't love the Lord, she got involved in this, she got involved in that, she doesn't love the Lord, that's all hokey stuff. Well, I believe she did. She just didn't walk with him. And there's the big damage. That's why she didn't experience his love for her. And that's the great problem. And people, you know, this whole love relationship with God, I'm going to use a silly example. It's not like having a dog that you have outside and you go out and pet it when you feel like it, and you go out and feed it when you feel like it. No, a relationship with the Lord must be maintained daily in His Word. We have class only twice a week, three times. I hope that daily you're in the Word. I hope daily you're in prayer. Hope you have this kind of time to give Him. Okay, let's go back to John 17, verse 23. John 17, 23. I in them, sanctification and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and thou in me, decision by God the Father, in order that they, all believers of the church, may be perfected in unity, or completed as one. And this in order that the world of unbelievers may know, and we have the subjunctive mood, may know. And maybe they will know, maybe they will not know. That's the whole problem here. People, you see, Jesus Christ performed many miracles when He was here on earth. And like in Capernaum. Judith and I went to Capernaum, and it's just a small little area. But one thing I did love about Capernaum, the world of religion hasn't saturated it. I think there was one main church in the whole area as you first entered. But they've really left everything else pretty much alone. And you could walk out in one area that was basically, according to them, the way it was 2,000 years ago. And it was just rough, and no work by man had been done on it. In fact, when you walked into this area, they said, please do not talk. Let's just leave this area alone. And you're allowed to walk through there and just sit, meditate, and think, and read your Bible, whatever you want to do in that area, in that way. And he performed a multitude of miracles there. They didn't believe in him. They didn't believe in him. They didn't accept him as the Son of God, their Savior. People, the greatest thing to me, Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. There was no doubt of the people there. They knew Lazarus, and they knew he died, and they buried him. And they buried him several days, I think it was 4 days, he's been inside that cave, inside the grave. And the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. You know why he said Lazarus, I hope. Because if he had said, come forth, they'd all come forth. So he had to zero in on which one he wanted out of there. Lazarus, come forth. They saw Lazarus walking. They knew that was him. And many did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They ran off to the hierarchy, the priesthood, and wanted him gotten rid of. So people, the miracles don't prove anything in that respect if you do not want to see and know him. And then our passage continues, so they may or may not know that you sent him. You didst love them even as thou didst love me. Okay, let's take a look at even as. It is the Greek adverb kathos, K-A-T-H-O-S. Now, kathos carries different emphasis, different forces of interpretation. For an example, it may be manner. Manner. Love one another just as I have loved you. Love one another in the same manner I have loved you. What is that manner? 1 John 3:16. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. So there, kathos, in the John 13 passage, Gospel of John chapter 13, love one another as I have loved you. It's in the manner that he's loved. But you know, this may also carry the ideal of cause. Of cause. And that's pretty close to what we have here. you have loved them because you love me. And we're in him. It's giving it a different force. So you love them because you loved me. And as we are in him, therefore the Father will love us because we are one in his Son. People, when God looks at a born-again believer, a believer in sin, a believer in the trend of sin, a believer that's religious, a believer that's walking in the power of the Spirit, let me tell you what he sees. He sees one that's in his Son. That's what he sees. That's what he sees. That you're in his Son. And because he loves his Son, he loves us. That's the whole point here. There are many things that happened to every believer because we are in Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He, God the Father, predestined us. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ shares the predestination of Jesus Christ to adoption. Predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, to God the Father, according to the kind intention of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which glory, by the way, glory that we're studying in the Lord's Prayer, he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. This glory is going to come up in the next verse. See, in Jesus Christ. So this is the love that he's talking about. Okay, here's the question. Does not God love some and love others? The question is not, does God love some more than others? Those are not the questions. The question is not, does God love one some and not others? That's not the proper question. The question is not, does God love some more than others? The indeed, God does love all. Why does he express his love differently to some than to others? The answer to this question, and this is the proper question, why does he express his love to this one differently than he does this one? And the answer to this question is embedded in two very important areas of theology. That's the question we need to ask. Not does he love this and not love these? Does he love these and not those? Does he love these more than? You're asking the wrong question. You're asking the wrong question. Why does God express his love to this group or this person differently than another? And the answer is found in two theological issues. First, because he cannot express his love the same to all who do not have the same capacity to receive his love. It's not God's problem. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Go back to my illustration of the parents who have a baby and have a 21-year-old. They will express their love differently to the 21-year-old because the 21-year-old is capable and able to handle a different expression. You give the little baby an automobile and he'll just throw up on it. So it's not a matter of the love of the parent. It's not a matter of the love of God. The problem is with us. That's where the problem lies. To all, God demonstrates his love according to their needs. Christ died for me when I was a sinner. That's all the love he could give me. Secondly, God demonstrates his love according to his sovereign will, according to his sovereign plan. And, oh, people, this is so important. This is so important. I was so disappointed in Whitney Houston's funeral Saturday. the keynote speaker, the main speaker, gave the prosperity gospel. I couldn't believe it. I just got up to leave the room, and my wife said, "Hey, you gotta leave the room." Okay, I'll sit down, watch the thing. That's what he's doing. He's giving a prosperity gospel. A man, you know, maybe an hour earlier, just a pastor, just had a brief little moment. He did a great job on the gospel. But the keynote speaker gave the prosperity gospel. And he said, "Well, of course, I believe that God wants everybody to prosper and all these things." Well, let me just say, you're listening to that, and you're living in a shack, and you have disease, you have this, that. Well, wait a minute, then. God must not love me. He's not prospering me like he is this believer over here. False theology gets you so out of haywire in all kinds of areas if you think your way through it. Well, if God wants everyone prospered, and I go to church every time, and God isn't prospering me like he is this person and that person, so God must not love me. People, God has a plan for each one of us. And how God loves this believer is none of your business, none of your concern. Our concern is God's dealing with us. Peter, in the closing chapter of John, question the Lord. Well, what about John? What's going to happen with John? And the Lord said, "Hey, if I want to keep John alive until I come again, that's no concern of yours. No concern of yours whatsoever." People, God loves all of us. And let's just take for the classroom example. It's one thing you like about classroom when I major in economics. In a classroom, you can just create any kind of economy you want. So let's say we have two believers, they're equal in their spiritual growth, and they're walking in the Spirit, and their knowledge of the Scriptures and all these things, and one life is just chaos after chaos, and the other life is just, wonderful. Has a home out on the beach and a home up in the mountains, and this poor other believer is just barely getting by. What's wrong here? There's nothing wrong! God loves them both. He has a plan for each one of them. And that's how He's going to demonstrate His love, if we walk in the Spirit. And it's not a prosperity for everyone. In prosperity in the human realm, in the material realm, there is spiritual prosperity, but not material prosperity. And God is going to deal with each one of us according to His plan. I mean, I turn on a TV and I just watch this yo-yo from Houston. I mean, he just doesn't know any scripture hardly at all. And he's just teaching his prosperity gospel and on and on and on. And I see thousands and thousands. And I go, "Oh, Father, I'm teaching the Word. And I've got ones." See? I can't do that. I cannot do that. He's dealing with me. He's dealing with him. He's dealing with each believer. And he's got a plan. So let's be sure we understand both points, the answer to the question. Since indeed God does love all, why does he express his love differently? Two theological answers. One, he cannot express his love due to the object of the love. Some believers are just not prepared. And of course, unbelievers, but we just talk about believers. And then secondly, God, it demonstrates, expresses his love according to his sovereign will. Therefore, people, it is not up to us to question. It is not up to us to question. Well, why, God, do they get this? And I don't. Why do they get that? They don't even go to church. They don't read the Bible. I happen to know that. They don't do this. They don't. And look at all I'm doing. And I'm the one doing without here. See? People, we've got to understand his theological plan and say, "Yes, Father. Yes. This is where I can minister. This is where I can serve. And thank you very much for giving me this opportunity in whatever status you have." I remember the first time I went to see Grady and Cheryl and down in Huevos, Mexico. And they lived in this little trailer shack wasn't as big as two of these tables combined in its length, and hardly much wider. And they lived no electricity, no plumbing. They lived just like the people that were around there that they were ministering to. And he was very big, greedy, and were very big on you live the people that you're ministering. Well, I was in a lot better condition than I am now, so I took off, and I was walking around the coast and grove, and kept walking, maybe 2 or 3 miles, I don't know, but 3, and I went around, whoa, big homes with swimming pools right off of the coast. And I went back and I said, Grady, I agree with you. We should live like those who we're ministering to. I have been called to those people that live around the cove. And he laughed. But people, we all have different opportunities and different things. We can't look at these things and say, well, God loves them more than me and all this. You're wrong. Did you have a question? Yeah. Yes. Yes, you're walking by faith. Only the faith. That's what God responds to. Only the faith. And that's going to be it at the rewards at the great white throne. At the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge us on the amount of time that we logged in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Not. Yes. Yeah. So that's the deal. So do we understand the two major points of theology here? One is the inability of the object of the love, or the ability object of the love, and the second is the sovereignty of God, His sovereign will. And here's where so many believers lose it in dealing with this. One of the many faults of the prosperity gospel. This isn't the only one, it's many of them. People, God has a plan for every born-again believer. He loves you both, of these believers, with the same magnitude of love, but He demonstrates His love differently. Point one. Since God loves us, because He loves Jesus Christ, this means that God's love for us is not because of who and what we are in ourselves, but because we are in His Son, whom He loves. Example I like to use here, a mom and dad, before their daughter or their son, we'll pick on the son, goes well with the son, and whoever our son marries, they're in our family. We don't care who it is. That's a dangerous thing to say today, but let's just say a parent says that, and it doesn't matter. So the son comes in and says, this is the woman that I love and that loves me and I want to marry. Now, she is not the one they would have picked out. She is not the one that they, but they've already made this agreement. That's God the Father. Whoever is in my son is in my beloved. Okay? Point two. God loved the world of unbelievers because they were His creation. And He desires to restore them back to fellowship with Himself. Just as a mother loves her son who has rebelled and left home, she still loves him but cannot demonstrate her love because he has chosen to go away. He has chosen to stay away from her, so she cannot give him the love that she still has. Every human example that I or any pastor uses, if you carry it out far enough, it'll break down. Just take it with the superficial aspect of that. Point three. As soon as we come to the reality, and we studied reality Sunday morning, as soon as we come to the reality of the fact that God loves us because He loves His Son, This should give us a security in our salvation and our relationship with Him. Where there is love, there is no fear. So when believers fear loss of salvation, or fear that God does not love them, they lose out in the security of their love, for all the while they fear and doubt and worry and go into sad, stress, anxiety, depression. While all this is going on, God is standing there tapping His foot, "But I love you, and I have a wonderful plan for you. Would you come back and get into the wonderful plan?" And it's never too late. If you're breathing, it's not too late. 4. This is not unlike the unbeliever who refuses the love of God, refuses to believe in Jesus Christ. He loses out on all that God's love offers him. God loves the unbeliever. He's just not able to bless the unbeliever with blessings that he would like to give. 5. So this passage on God the Father loving us as because He loves His Son should have an impact in our daily lives. We as believers should never lose His love, for to say that He no longer loves you would be to say that He no longer loves His own Son. That's what you're saying. Anyone who says God doesn't love me anymore is saying God doesn't love His Son anymore. Because your position in His Son is security. It's security of God's love. So whenever a believer cries or hurts and looks at his life or her life, all that's going on, God doesn't love me anymore, then you're saying God doesn't love His Son anymore. So that's why it's important to us to understand the basis of God's love. The basis of His love is not that you walk the straight and narrow, not that you live a certain lifestyle, not that you even walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, but that you love, that you trusted in His Son, and therefore His love for you does not change. He loves every believer, regardless of what is going on in your life. Sin, failure, wonderful success of walking in the Spirit, growing in the knowledge of Christ. You cannot lose the love of God. There should be security to you, especially when stress, anxiety, depression, sad comes into your soul. Know that you are loved by God the Father because He loves His own Son. You cannot lose this love. Therefore, you have the motivation to put yourself in a position where He can prosper you, bless you, love you, and demonstrate His love in a powerful way in your life. Doesn't mean overt prosperity, spiritual prosperity, that joy, that peace that you can have in life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, there are a lot of believers today who would love just to have a day when there was peace. Just peace, not even happiness. Their life is so tormented because they do not understand what we're studying right here. It's very simple. It's not easy. It's not easy. I would have loved to be able to talk to Whitney Houston, Elvis Presley, many of these kind of people, and say, it's not going to be easy, but it's very simple. Just slow down. Get back into church. Get back into the filling of the Spirit. Get back into the Word of God. It doesn't mean you have to give up your singing, your acting. Just get back with the Lord so that you can experience that peace that you so desperately want. And she apparently wanted it. Just that inner peace. People, it's there. But if you're not in a position to receive it, you're not going to receive it. And finally, point 6. There are 3 kinds of love on planet Earth. Divine love, love from a member of the Godhead, human love, love that comes from humans. And remember, people, human love is only as stable as that person. That old woman that reared me, she did not have a lot of theology, but she sure had a lot of good sense. I mean, when I was 9 years old, I hate you, and slammed the door. She just said, you'll pay for anything you break. But then I hated her. She didn't, oh, my boy doesn't love me anymore. He hates me. Oh, I fall apart. Not at all. But I tell you, when my brother and I came back as adults and said, we love you, that meant something. That meant something. So people, we have to understand, human love is no better than the person who has it, and it's no the guarantee that it will continue, that it will grow. It just depends on the stability of that person. And then there is spiritual love. This is a love that comes out of a believer who is empowered by the Holy Spirit. I call it spiritual love because it's by the Holy Spirit in a spiritual being and has spiritual impact. Therefore, it's spiritual love. It's from the power of the Holy Spirit. It is in a believer walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and has spiritual impact in your life and in the world. So there's spiritual love. Being loved by humans from their flesh is very unstable. And as we've already studied in one series, when love grows cold. Being loved by a believer from the power of the Holy Spirit, now this is stable. This is stability. This is the one you want the people. I don't want anybody to know my flesh nature. It's ugly. I'll tell you that. I want you to know who I am in Christ. This is where the real power comes to. This is a love that will always be there as long as we're in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Because you love me, it carries the manner just as you love me. It also carries manner. I think the emphasis here is causal, but it carries manner. Let's know. Point one. God the Father loved Jesus Christ as His Son. God the Father loved Jesus Christ as His own Son. He loves us in the same manner because we are in His sons. We are sons by faith in Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:1. We'll not turn to it, but just put it down. Secondly, He loves Christ with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. And so, His love toward us is everlasting. It'll never change. You will never not be a son if you're a son by faith in Christ. So His love for you is everlasting. Three, He loves Jesus Christ with an unchanging love. So He loves us with an unchanging love. We may change, but His love for us does not change. Okay, that gets us ready for verse 24, and we're just about out of time, and by the time I just got into where we need to really start looking at it, we would have to close, so we'll begin here next Wednesday night with verse 24. Father, I desire, this is so unbelievable, what an unbelievable prayer, look at it. Father, I, Jesus Christ, and by the way, this is the only time He uses that word desire in this whole prayer. That they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me, for Thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. This is so unbelievably powerful. I'll not be ever able to cover all that's in here. But what I want you to just see is that prayer of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be with Him. People, I don't even want to be with myself. 24/7, Jesus Christ wants us to be with Him wherever He is for all eternity. This is an unbelievable prayer. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're overwhelmed that you love us just as you love your Son. That's unbelievable. That's even really beyond our full understanding. We understand who Jesus Christ is, all of His glory, all that He did, where He is now. And to say that you love me as much as you loved Him, it's just unfathomable. But we believe it because you tell us so. So, Father, it's our purpose, it's our desire that we will put ourselves in position where you can demonstrate your love to us all the time. That you'll not have to hold back any blessing because of our inability to grasp it. Father, we pray that you'll guide us to walk with you in the power of your Spirit. Lead us as we continue in the study of this wonderful prayer. Let it make an impact in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.